Tonight, we kick off the show with one of our most appropriate late-night guests ever as we get a preview of the caffeine crawl. Then later, we get at least 1,000 new words from Tribune's political cartoonist Scott Stantis. But first, State Senator Dan Gutowski is here to once again play What's That From? All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. And even before we get to What's That From, we have State Representative Rob Martwick on the line. Robert Martwick, do you prefer Rob or Representative Rob? Robert? What do you? I don't know. It's too many.
Yes,
words.
Your Highness.
Careful now. No, that's how people are feeling these days. Yes.
Yeah. No kidding. No. Just Rob is fine.
Yeah, I can't do that. Representative Martwick is my rep from the 19th district, and I was down in Springfield for the very last moment of the session when they had the deadline for the budget at least to pass it with a simple majority. And today, and yesterday, as a matter of fact, Governor Rauner has been taking a bit of a tour of different parts of Illinois to say it's all Chicago's fault. What is happening? How is this our fault, Representative Martwick?
Well, that's a good question. You know, so I think there's a real fundamental problem right now when you've got a governor who is celebrating. I mean, he's literally going around the state on sort of a reporter called it a victory lap of the state, and he's celebrating the fact that he was able to stop a budget from being passed.
Right.
And it's really been surreal because here's a guy who used his influence to get his daughter to attend a Chicago public school, Walter Payton Academy. He owns property in the city of Chicago, and he's going around the state, and he's pitting Chicago against every community, and he's talking about it like he's from these communities. He's like, we have to stop sending our money to Chicago, and it's time for them to pay up. And for the life of me, I think to myself, what is he thinking? How is he thinking that this is helpful for the state? I couldn't have imagined when he got elected that he would be – that he would ever, anybody that would ever seek this office would act anything like it. I mean, it's kind of like he's really acting like Trump is what he's acting like.
Well, all day long on Tuesday, that was what I heard in most of the arguments that were being made about the budget, about education funding, was if you live in Chicago, this is a great bill for you. But otherwise, this is sticking it to the rest of Illinois. And I have my driver's license in front of me, Representative Martwick, and it says Illinois on it. And I'm pretty sure I live here, as you many Chicagoans, actually all Chicagoans. I'm not sure when Governor Rauner stopped being the governor of the people who live in Chicago.
Yeah, it's, again, he's making political calculations that there's something to be gained if he pits the rest of the state against Chicago. And it just doesn't make sense to me. And you know, we've got, sure, Chicago has some real fundamental problems. But Chicago Illinois is Chicago. I mean, we are the heart of the state of Illinois. And if Chicago were to dry up, we would be North Dakota, you know. this is to think that, you know, we've got a Chicago public school system that is really hampered with terrible financial trouble. Forget about where it came from. Things happened, learn from the past, get on with it. But the reality is, we have problems that we need to fix today.
Right.
And instead of trying to fix those problems, we've got schools that have 34 kids per teacher. We've got paint peeling off walls. We've got leaky roofs. We can't afford art classes or music classes for our children because we have financial problems and profound problems that are about to get a lot worse if we don't do something about it. And yet, instead of trying to solve problems for Chicago, he's trying to exacerbate them because he finds political gain in it. And it's unconscionable. It really is. I don't even know what to say. I read that story this morning, and I was just, I feel a sense of shame that he's my governor.
I do, too, because I heard so much of this on Tuesday, and I had not heard it as much last year. I had heard things about the structuring the pension reform or payments to the teachers' pensions or the firemen or the police department. And it was always under that big umbrella of Chicago is taking most of it. But am I mistaken in that we have the largest population in the state of Illinois? So percentage-wise, it would make sense that a lot of what has to be spent will go here, but it goes everywhere.
Yeah, it does. And Chicago contributes 40% of the revenue to the state of Illinois. 40% of the revenue. We don't get nearly that much back. And, you know, Chicago pays for a lot of the improvements that go into areas. And that's fine. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's an economic engine. It generates revenue. It keeps the rest of the state afloat. And every governor, be they Republican or Democrat, be they from Chicago or downstate, has realized the importance of working together. So sure, there's always that little bit of political dialogue, but people like Thompson and like Jim Edgar from Charleston, Illinois, he knew the importance of Chicago to the state and always worked very well with the city of Chicago to maintain a good balance, make sure everything was going well. I've never seen a governor come out and try and destroy the heart of the state. It just makes no sense.
And how much of an effect will this have as you continue to go down to Springfield to work on the budget throughout the rest of the summer and try to meet the next deadline?
Well, and you know, here you go, right? So on the day that I just happened to watch today, finally I got around to it, but I saw him when he had his little press conference on the stairs in the Capitol building. And of course, this was at like 5 o'clock on the day of the budget deadline. And he came out and just totally ripped on all the Democrats. So on the one hand, he's saying we're working together and we're making progress. And on the same hand, he's coming out and telling everybody how it's all the Democrats' fault and they're the ones that want to raise taxes. It's like he's trying to poison the well before you ever get anything done. He refuses to acknowledge the problems that we have. He refuses to offer any solutions to the problems. And then when you're trying to make progress through negotiations, he's poisoning the well. It makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And I think to a lot of people, and by the way, for those of you outside the city of Chicago who are like, it is Chicago that's causing all the problems. You guys have all the violence. Your education system is corrupt. Your political system is corrupt. We all have problems. This entire state has issues. But it doesn't seem as though pointing the blame at Chicago is going to solve our budget issue. And Craig, I'm guessing that you're getting some texters on the screen. Because you like pulled back away from it. What are you getting on the I wasn't sure if it was that bad. No, yeah. Not getting any comments. No, I know that it's frustrating for everyone, but this doesn't seem like a way forward to somehow point the finger at the city.
It doesn't. And, you know, there isn't a person in the General Assembly who doesn't want to find a way to solve the problem. But the governor keeps poisoning the process and he keeps making it so very hard for us to make any progress because, like you said, he just everything he does is he's trying to pit one group against the other. And it would seem like it's all for political gain. And so what does he do? He makes these moves. And you don't see this from anybody else, right? But you see it from him. And yet he's the one who says, oh, no, I'm ready to solve the problem. But and he starts throwing people under the bus. And how will we ever get to a solution if we need to come together as a state to solve an epic problem. We need to all come together. We need to drop our rhetoric. We need to drop our politics. You know, I was on your show just the other day, and we talked about the governor, and of course I said I disagree with him, but I also said I think he's a good person. I think he's a good man. He's an honorable man. I'm beginning to question that comment at this point. How in good conscience, when you are harming people, do you go around and celebrate the fact that you stopped a budget deal from getting done?
It makes absolutely no sense. By the way, on my way out of town on Wednesday, was it just yesterday? It seems like really time stands still in Springfield, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Everything kind of stretches out. I was on my way out and I saw Senator McGuire and I stopped and talked to him and he seemed absolutely perplexed as to how things have not made any improvements, how we've made no inroads. And he gave me the name of a website that is there's actually someone who's created an atlas of austerity, the Illinois Atlas of Austerity. So people can Google that and you can find out what services are being cut. Some services that may never come back. Right, rape crisis centers, social services, services for our veterans. This is what has come to pass as a result of a governor who refuses to bend when it comes to, you know, he had a reform agenda, and it really does seem as though he wants to pit the city of Chicago, whether it's Rahm Emanuel, the teachers unions, against the rest of the state of Illinois, and that makes no sense to me whatsoever. I'm just so frustrated.
Well, and Patty, I think, and I've begun to believe this, I had started to say it, I'm almost convinced of it now. When he ran for office, he talked about the reset button. He said, said, we may have to hit the reset button, meaning let's blow this thing up. Let's hit the big button. Let's have the nuclear option. And I think when he got in office, he probably realized, ooh, that won't go over well.
Right.
But how do I accomplish what I want? How do I wipe everything out without wearing the jacket for it? And so I think that this prolonged budget impasse is part of the strategy. Because
I agree.
As he drags things out, what he's doing is he's starving these places out. And as they don't get the resources they need, the people that work for them can't get paid. They get let go. They have to go find other jobs. And when we finally do get around to a budget, he'll say, well, I'm not going to fund them at the level they were at before.
Right.
I'll just fund them at the level they're at now. Well, they're decimated.
Yeah,
you know?
They're still there. So right. We didn't fund them for 2 years. We didn't fund them fully 2 years, and they're still providing services. That's fine. The Maryville, I saw that Maryville is going to close. Is it no longer going to take any more boys and girls? Is that correct?
I
know.
Just every time I hear something like this, it just makes me sick to my stomach. And like I said, the worst part is to think that this is part of the strategy. And like you said, every indication that I see is that it is, because why else would he be doing this? If you really cared, solving it, and I've said this on your show a number of times, the solution is easy. The decisions are hard,
right?
But they're the right decisions. You sit down, you do them, you say, we'll take the heat because it's the right thing to do. He has no interest. He wants this.
Well, I thank you for your time, and we'll continue to have this conversation. I'm going to invite you in on one of these Fridays. We're starting a new segment called Budget Crisis Corner, and we're going to have one Republican and one Democrat on every week.
That sounds like fun.
I think we'll have good conversations. You have a good weekend. I'll see you in Springfield next week.
Thanks, Patty. Take
and
care.
Senator Katowski would say hi, but he's too busy, right? Are you going to say hi? Oh, you were.
Who am I saying hi to?
Representative Martwick.
Oh, hello, Representative Martwick. How are you tonight? Oh,
good. How are you, Senator? Good. To,
doing
good
quite well. You should see Patty Vasquez. Looks like she just peered off the cover of Vogue magazine. She's hitting it out of the park right now.
Nice.
And I'm just blessed to be here in her studio.
Well, thanks for wearing the Cubs hat.
You're welcome.
We'll see you next week, Representative Martwick.
Take care. Have a great rest of the show.
Thank you. Have a good night. More after this on 720 WGN. Oh, man. My studio smells so good right now, Craig. It smells like coffee.
They walked in, and within minutes, they were creating coffee. And
they erupted
lovely.
With coffee smells.
They can come every night. If you
they
guys,
can.
Every single night.
We have in studio with us Jennifer Alexander Monzon. Monzon? Is it really? I took a stab at it and I committed to it. That's what happened. And Jason Burton, is that correct? Did
you
I say
got
that?
It.
Thank you very
much.
Thank you very much, Jason. You guys have the caffeine crawl this weekend. Senator Katowski is also here.
Wow.
I'm not less excited
okay.
to see you.
Wow.
You're just often here.
Yeah, I was raving. I gave you a great compliment.
Thank
when
you.
It
you
came
did.
In.
Your applause is weird.
That was weird. I was like,
it was
wow,
lovely.
Hooray.
I'm wearing a dress.
I'm super excited about it.
She's wearing a dress and lipstick. It's exciting. Thank you.
Don't say it was a
apparently he
lot.
Likes my hair better than Rick Pearson does.
I just envy the concept of hair.
Okay, let me just
should
say,
we ask him a question? If you could pick one cartoon character that you think Patty looks like, what one would it be?
That's really interesting.
No, that's an odd question.
What?
But Rick Pearson
why, do you
had
have one
an
in your
answer
head?
For it. No, Rick had an answer for that.
That's not a cartoon character. That's a historical figure.
She also, I think that, I think you're also, I think when he described her, though, he was thinking of the Disney movie.
Really? I just think he was using the generic, slightly racist terminology.
That, yeah, no, that's terrible.
Was there a Jane Mansfield cartoon character?
When I wear my pigtails, I walked in.
Apparently.
I walked into, what was the restaurant that I walked into?
I don't remember.
I'm not
going to
walk down that path of potentially insulting
yeah,
you.
No,
what's
no,
the
no,
great,
not,
what's the great pizza place in Springfield? Gratoni?
Gabatoni's.
Gabatoni's. I said that last night,
Did
and I didn't
that?
Want to commit to the wrong one. Gabatoni's,
yes.
Amazing pizza.
Great pizza.
I walked in, and he goes, what are you, trying to be Pocahontas or something? Because I had the braids.
Yeah. What is
right.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah. Seriously. And he goes, I'm
he's
not,
been watching too many
goes,
Trump rallies.
I'm not really a fan of the braids. Hmm? I don't think I really like the braids very much. Is what he
said
him.
That?
Yeah, out loud, out of his face.
There's a great number of people who don't have any filters anymore.
No filters.
They just go right at it.
You know what I suspect? He can't say things to the politicians, so he waits for someone to come
along.
Oh,
no, they'll say something
He'll
directly
say something.
To you. Sure.
Oh, all right, then.
Yeah.
We are taking up Jennifer and Jason's time because they have the caffeine crawl. Whoa. This weekend, Jason Burton is the organizer of said caffeine crawl and has brought Jennifer Alexander Monzon with us from Chapin Coffee.
Chapin Coffee, yeah.
Oh, see?
Yeah,
but you got the last name.
One for two is not bad.
Yeah,
that's good.
Chapin, but it's spelled Chapin.
It is.
But it's pronounced Chapin?
Chapin. It's a Guatemalan word. It's a term of endearment from one Guatemalan to another.
Should it have an accent over the I?
Yes. That's why.
That's where we all went wrong right here. I'm going to get a pen and I'm going to fix that. Chapin, right. It didn't print out with that.
Oh, my.
Tell us a little bit about Chapin Coffee.
Sure. So we're a specialty coffee company born here in Chicago. We source globally, roast locally, and then for every bag of coffee that we sell, we feed children in Guatemala who are living in the regions where coffee is grown.
And how did you create this relationship with this community in Guatemala?
Yeah, so my husband and partner, Carlos, and I started the company together. And so it really has roots in his childhood. He grew up spending summers on his grandfather's coffee farm there.
Really?
And he was friends with these same children and realized that they were suffering and wanted to do something about it. So fast forward some years, and we decided to put coffee together with that and create a product that could empower these people and empower coffee lovers to make a difference.
Well, what a commitment, you know, a long lifetime commitment to have to go, you know, what I've always wanted to do and what I'm now going to follow through on is having this. And to find someone who's willing to go that route, because it's not easy to start a business, I'm guessing.
No, it's not.
And where is Chapin Coffee?
So we're located, our headquarters are in Old Town, but you can find us all over. So we are sold through Whole Foods up in Lincoln Park on Kingsbury.
Mm-hmm.
We're also served in Delicious Cafe in Roscoe Village, which is up on Lincoln, just south of Irving Park. And then we also serve our coffee in various offices around the city. So if your office is in need of better coffee, mm-hmm. Call us.
You can count on it. And Jason Burton is the creator, yes. The organizer of the Coffee Crawl. How long has this been going on?
So we started in the end of 2011, mm-hmm. I'm based out of Kansas City. We started there and had three the first year, kind of as a test to see if it would stick. Our goal was to go a year and a half around the country. I think we hit number 8 at a year and a half, maybe. And this is our 48th caffeine crawl. Starts tomorrow, second annual in Chicago.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And what is it? Well, let me take a break here. Yeah. We're going to keep you for another segment, if you don't mind, after the news. We are hanging out with Jennifer and Jason from the coffee crawl and the caffeine crawl.
Good.
I'm going to have
but there
coffee.
Is coffee.
I'm going to have coffee.
You're right.
So the Caffeine Crawl is this weekend, and we'll get you more information. Where can they go right now to take a look?
CaffeineCrawl.com.
Wonderful. Yep. And during the break, we're going to have some coffee, Senator.
How's it sound? Right.
More after this on 720 WGN.
I'm talking to the shadows, 1 o'clock to 4. And Lord, how slow the moments go when all I do is pour black coffee.
I don't usually drink black coffee, Craig. I think I may never drink coffee with cream again, as long as I'm drinking
either.
Good coffee.
Oh, my God.
Wait.
I might just listen to Ella Fitzgerald's black coffee and drink the black coffee that they just brought
in. Are we allowed to play it like underneath? Like,
yeah, okay, we'll use it. We'll
use
it.
Yeah,
we're just going to do that.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Oh, it's so nice.
This is great.
I'm going to write my journal right now.
You should. We have with us our friends from the Caffeine Crawl, which is happening this weekend. Jennifer Alexander Monzon, who is with Chapin Coffee, and she has a shop in Old Town, but you can also find these coffees at places like Whole Foods, and there was a Roscoe Village coffee shop.
Called Delicious Cafe.
Delicious Cafe. Mm-hmm. Jason Burton is one of the organizers of the Caffeine Crawl, which is happening this weekend. And by the way, 312-981-7200. We have two pairs of tickets to give away. I feel like we should do like a contest, but I don't have the wherewithal to create something right now. So we'll go ahead and pick a number between 1 and 6, Senator.
3.
3. Caller number 3 gets a pair of tickets.
That, or we could ask them for the movie that we will take a scene from for your acting.
We'll do one pair of tickets for that.
Yeah, okay, one pair of tickets for that. Give us a movie suggestion for...
You need to stay for What's That From.
Yeah, you guys need to stay for What's That From.
Yeah. So one pair of tickets right now. Yes. One pair of tickets for caller number 3 to the Caffeine Crawl. It's happening this weekend. Jason can tell you a little bit about that, the different routes there are, and then Jennifer will tell us about the coffee we're tasting. What areas, what neighborhoods are we crawling through?
Oh, my gosh. We're covering a lot of Chicago, obviously not branching out to the burbs, just because transportation and time that it takes. 11 different routes, 3 start tomorrow. We have 4 on Sunday. What's that leave? 4 more on Saturday, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't give the number, Craig, did I? 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. Caller, we only have those two. There's another slot left. It'll be the next two callers, and you can win a pair of tickets. Caller number 3 wins a pair of tickets for the Caffeine Crawl. I apologize.
No, no, you're good. And a couple of routes are already sold out. I think two or three are really close to it. So if they go to caffeinecrawl.com, they can look at the routes. Each shop that's on a route, I think there's 25, 30 participating shops, but only five on a route.
So okay. Is there a bus that takes everybody?
Nope. There's some walking routes. I think the longest route distance is maybe 7 miles, but most of them are under 5 miles.
And with the caffeine crawl, what is your focus? Because I'm guessing these are all neighborhood, local,
right.
Ventures that you're Absolutely. Focusing on.
Just like Jennifer's business here. I mean, we started, the whole idea originated from creating, building a bridge between consumers and the industry. The industry kind of had a bad stereotype. You know, you see all these funny videos making fun of baristas and so forth. But I've been in the industry since 2004 on the marketing side, and I've always been a big advocate of the industry and everything. But really, it's hard to go to a coffee shop, take time to talk to the barista or the owner, because usually you're in a rush in the morning, mm-hmm. the machines are loud and so forth. So it's hard to
and
ask
there's a line.
Real
there are people who
right.
are,
absolutely.
They need their caffeine.
Right. But you could go to a good beer bar, cocktail bar, and sit down and have those conversations, like asking about what are the hops in this IPA, or what ingredients did you use in this cocktail, or wine bars.
Or why doesn't he love me anymore?
Right, exactly. Why? Why, Patty? Why? That happens at coffee shops.
That's
too.
What bartenders get.
I just
want to
talk about my feelings.
I had a customer one time, 7 hours at my bar.
Whoa.
There comes a point where you're like, can I just get a spatula to
really?
Peel you off that
yeah.
seat?
I used to bartend at Griffin's. That was yeah. in the afternoon on Saturdays.
I bet it was the braids.
Very, very dismaying.
It was the braids. Grizzly's yeah. Lodge on Lincoln Avenue for me. I was like, I'm really? Going to get you a cab. It's time to get you a cab, is what I told this customer.
Grizzly's Lodge.
See, but the thing is that with coffee, I mean, people, there's a culture of, well, there are different people that go to a coffee shop. One, the run and gun, right? They've got to get their coffee and they got to get to work, their next place. Then there are other people that love the atmosphere of the coffee shop. There's, you know, partly the sounds or the music or eavesdropping on conversations.
Right. Now, free office space.
I'm not saying that's right. me. I'm not saying I like to eavesdrop yeah. on anybody. I'm not. That's what I do.
Is the restraining order still in effect? Or,
yeah, and the general population. General population has
There's
requested.
There's a TRO against her in the general population. It's a very big restraining order.
Gen Pop wants you to keep a distance. Stop listening to us. You must wear headphones. Do you have a coffee shop, or is it where you sell mostly the bags of wonderful coffee beans?
Good question. So our coffee shop partner is Delicious Cafe. We don't run our own cafe yet.
Okay. Your plans
still,
are in the works.
Well, we're a new young business, so okay. we're kind of trying to take it one step at a time. So you can find us at Delicious. You can find us in certain specialty retail stores like Whole Foods, mm-hmm. online, chapinecoffee.com. We ship anywhere within the U.S. So if you've got people who you love who love coffee who don't live in Chicago, you can send it to them. And then, like I said, we're partnering with offices.
And how closely do you work with Delicious to get them to understand, whether it's the person behind the counter, to know mm-hmm. what the difference is between the different beans?
Oh, yeah. Delicious is amazing. They're run by two women who just are so passionate about what they do, so passionate about the coffee, about their customers. It's this sweet, beautiful little spot that I can't even describe in words. You just have to feel it. So Caffeine Crawl's a great opportunity.
Where is
to
this?
Feel it.
What route is that one on?
Yeah.
Is that one of the ones that sold
on
out?
5 and 8. I believe they're
Good
both
job.
Still available.
Nice.
I know. One's in the morning, one's in the afternoon. Five
on
and 8 are on Saturday.
Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It is at 3827 North Lincoln Avenue. So
it's an awesome shop.
Is that
really
Roscoe
is
Village or is that Lincoln Square?
It's kind of both.
Okay.
Yeah. It's right in the middle.
All right, I'm just checking. Because Jason was mentioning when you go to a bar, you can ask a bartender, like, you know, what I'll ask a bartender, what do you like to make, right? Like, what do they feel like is their special? Especially now, there are so many right. mixologists, right? They right. know what their special blend is. They've got syrups and fresh herbs. Like you mentioned, you don't have that time with a barista to go, well, how is this different from? I mean, I'm not going to go across the street and ask them what they mean by dark blend and, you know, African roast. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Because are they going to, yeah. and they might know, we just don't take that time. So I think Absolutely. This is a great way to encourage people to enjoy coffee in the same way, you know, because you're not just, there are people who drink it just to get the caffeine.
Oh yeah. It's functional.
Right.
Right.
It's functional.
Yeah. Because, and I'm not going to name any names, but I was always surprised to see that there was like a drive-through brand of coffee that people really liked. And I was like, really? And there's another one where you can get pastries that people really love. I'm like, I always feel like it tastes like chemicals. Mm-hmm. Do you ever know? I mean, like, can you just stop somewhere and be like, I'm going to go to this corner joint and get a coffee now?
Well, one of my favorite things is to try new coffees everywhere, right, because you never know where you're going to find a great cup of coffee, mm-hmm, in the most unassuming places.
Oh, some diners have the best coffee.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the cup or the waitress that comes over and just keeps heating it up for you, the pancakes, the syrup. It's something. You're right, though.
Yeah. So, you know, my favorite thing is to try out new things. Now, that said, I'm definitely very, very picky these, mm-hmm, days, because I get to drink so much amazing coffee all the time. I mean, if you walk into our place, it smells like coffee all the time. It smells like this booth all the time.
Do you smell like coffee?
I probably also smell like coffee. Not there might be thing. A restraining order against me because I smell like coffee. I don't know. But yeah, fantastic. You know, it's just an adventure. I love it.
We are going to take a quick break here and continue our conversation with Jason Alexander Monzon from Chapin Coffee and Jason Burton, who is the organizer of the Caffeine Crawl this weekend. We have given away a pair of tickets. What's our next contest? Ask them. You need a movie? You want to ask them what movie scene Senator Katowski and I should do?
If they want to suggest a movie for us to pull a scene from for What's That From, we'll go ahead and take it from them via text.
Via text.
Way we won't give it out on the air.
For our texters, 312-981-7200. Shoot us some movie ideas for a scene you want Senator Katowski, myself, Craig, and Esmeralda, possibly Scott Santis, if he's here by the time we do this. What movie scene would you like to hear us recreate?
It's got to be something with coffee.
Yeah, there was. I think we've already topped out at When Harry Met Sally, so I don't think it can be as
embarrassing. There's so many movies, though.
I mean, with like making that kind of a, you know, putting it all out there.
It was exuberant.
We have demonstrated that we are willing to show up for this event. I'm just saying. We'll put out more after this on 720 WGN. Oh, Craig, I have to say, I think that coffee is so much better for us on this show than doing the cocktails. Well, Friday night's good.
Perfect.
We need to do like Thursday caffeine, like Thirsty Thursday, but with coffee. Although the senator, this is the first time you've had coffee in how long?
In a long time.
So during the break, you told me that I was going to have an interesting conversation.
We're talking baseball in here,
and then I heard Senator Dan Katowski say, "I like Craig." I was curious if it was something bad or not.
No, I like him.
I like Craig.
No, Jason was saying what a jerk Jason, you were, and I was like, but I like Craig.
Jason,
I'm
kidding.
Jason was saying, as a longtime resident, having been born in Kansas City, how excited he is for Chicago and the Cubs. He's a sports fan, and I was having a hard time wrapping my mind around at people from other places like being excited for the Cubs. And then he mentioned going to New York.
What
were your thoughts on the Yankees?
No, go ahead, please.
Well, yeah, just... The original stadium, mm-hmm, is...
That's not what
I
you said. That's
right.
Not the first thing.
Oh, no, I hate the Yankees, yeah.
Right, I know. Well, a lot of people do. That's fine. Right.
And
no,
if you've
no
already
yet.
Bought a Caffeine Crawl ticket, I'm sorry that if you're a Yankees fan. We can still talk sports.
They're non-refundable, right?
Right.
Jason,
they are
non-refundable.
Can you say something right. about the original stadium, though? Because I was there for the last game before they tore it down because I loved it so much. I was raised going to that stadium, so I really loved it and was very sad when they tore it down.
Well, yeah. Craig, can I ask you this? How much did you spend on that last ticket?
I don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
I flew out 2 days before the game when I decided to go, and then I bought a ticket, and I actually got to walk the field. They let you walk the outfield before the game. So I was in Monument
really
Park.
Cool.
It was an amazing trip. Oh, it was a little expensive.
Wow.
Jason was saying it was cathedral-like to be.
Yeah,
it was. It never should have been. That was the biggest mistake they've made in the last 10 years is to tear that place down.
Yeah.
You know what I think they should sell more of at games? Coffee. Really good coffee.
It's starting to come around.
Heck,
I mean,
yes.
Really, if you think about it, craft beer, mm-hmm, has really stepped up its game,
yes,
at stadiums. Coffee is starting to follow. But, you know, I'm starting to see really good coffee at soccer stadiums.
That makes a lot of sense. But I would think iced coffee would be more of, right, because you want to have something cool.
Depends on the weather, though, right?
Well, yes, right. Like tonight, a little cool out.
Like cool, right.
Yeah. But I mean, next week... 80 degrees in the sunshine. I'm not drinking hot coffee.
But like football,
coffee.
I think they sell the coffee at football games. They sell hot cocoa, right?
Hot He's a big cocoa. Hot cocoa fan.
I am.
Do they have any cocoa beans?
Cocoa beans.
Hot cocoa.
I just love it. But it's free at work.
It's so funny.
I love it.
Your eyes like light up like a kid. Do you put marshmallows in there?
See, I've kind of deprived myself of a lot of things for a long time. And then, you know, the hot cocoa is really like my... thing lately.
Do you remember those Swiss Miss? Well, remember, they still make it. But they have the mini little marshmallows. They're just like dehydrated.
Right. Those
little pieces of styrofoam.
Yeah, right.
This is wrong.
But the concept that Jason was talking about is that why he roots for the Cubs is important because he doesn't like the Cardinals.
Oh, wait. We can't say that.
Wait, he hates the Yankees. He doesn't like the Cardinals.
We can talk about New York because we don't do a caffeine curl in New York, but we do a caffeine curl in St. Louis.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Sorry. That was another guy.
That was Jeff who said that.
Yeah, that was
Jeff, the other guy.
Jason's evil twin.
But you know what we can compare it to? And I didn't mention this earlier. Another reason we do the caffeine crawls is to support small, local, independent businesses.
Yes. Even in St. Louis.
Same thing like three times in a row? Yeah. Even in St. Louis.
Even in St. Louis, which is great.
Even though the Cardinals play there. I'm fine. There's no reason to really drag anybody else down because when you're doing that well, like it's just kind of like, ha-ha.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's a really good rivalry, the Cubs and the Cardinals, because it's always been a very spirited rivalry and a respectful rivalry.
Right, right.
But I've been to that. It really has.
Okay.
Oh, not compared to like Cubs and Sox, but it got worse over the last several years. But when I growing up, you'd have Cubs and Sox fans. I'm sorry, Cubs and Cardinals fans in the half and half.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, yeah, good play or whatever. But now it's a lot uglier than it used to be. But still, it's really respectful for the most part compared to
from the Chicago side.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
Jennifer, where did you grow up?
I actually grew up in Minnesota, so I grew up a Twins fan.
There you go.
Huge Twins fan.
We were covering
so
all kinds
quiet.
Of
we got all of them.
I loved Kirby Puckett, though. Yeah. That was huge the man.
Kirby Who didn't love Kirby Puckett?
That was the man.
Yeah. Good Bert Blyleven, great pitcher.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You would know. You're too young.
Yes. I was telling Jason before he came in,
like
I watched every game of the 1990 season and listened to the home games on the radio. Every single one. I was a fanatic.
Die Hard.
Yeah, exactly.
That year.
That was the year.
That's how I wasn't in 84. I listened to every
84
single.
Cubs, every game?
Every game.
It's something just outstanding about listening to baseball on the radio. And
I can't.
Again.
Let's not talk about
another part of.
Let's not talk about being. There's something I was saying about being on the radio, talking about baseball on the radio.
I know. We did a very good job of it for over 90 years. Jennifer, you've given us two beautiful bags of coffee from your lovely Chapin Coffee Company. And the first one you handed me was Honduran Marcala.
Yep. That's
and
it.
Now, how does this? Now, it has a description on the outside that it has honey, cherry, and lemon with milk chocolate. That's kind of those are the notes of it.
Exactly. So, coffee works a lot like wine in terms of tasting notes. And both of them take those tasting notes from the land, the terroir, the soil, the climate, everything that they grow in. So that's why we're tasting a Honduran coffee and then we're tasting a Guatemalan coffee. Those countries are very close to one another, but the coffees taste very different because the soil is different.
So for the Luz de Vida, it has a little orange blossom, exotic and mellow, which is the kind of the tone of it.
Exactly.
More so.
Yeah.
And then brown sugar. There is like a citrus note to the Honduran.
Right.
You can,
right?
I taste that.
Yeah. Taste that. Exactly. And
I'm sorry.
No,
it's the caffeine. I have no control.
No hot cocoa.
And this one, the Luz de Vida, which is the light of life, is that's a Guatemalan coffee. And this is, again, you have created this company to help feed young children who deserve to feel like they have another meal coming.
Absolutely. So in Guatemala, 3 of every 4 kids growing up in the rural areas where coffee is grown are suffering from chronic malnutrition, meaning they're not getting the right nutrients every day. Results in physical stunting, cognitive stunting, and basically just limits them from achieving their full potential.
Right.
And we believe, on the contrary, every child deserves to grow to their full potential. So, that's why we're doing it. It's a big epidemic in Guatemala. They have the highest rate of chronic malnutrition in the Western Hemisphere. And it's a totally solvable problem, and our mission is to end chronic malnutrition in Guatemala. So we work with an NGO there called Pueblo a Pueblo. You can find out more about them at puebloapueblo.org. And they're providing meals in schools as well as organic school gardens. So they're setting up gardens, teaching children and the communities about nutrition, educating them so they know what they need, and empowering them to grow it themselves.
Right, to have a renewable source of food.
Exactly, so it's sustainable change.
Mm-hmm. And every bag of coffee that you buy from Chapin serves 2 meals to children living in rural Guatemala. And how can people go to your website for Chapin?
Yep, it's www.chapincoffee.com. Mm-hmm. And you'll see all of our lovely coffees right there on the homepage.
And as part of the caffeine crawl, where will you be at Delicious?
We'll be at Delicious, yep. And we're going to be sampling the cold brew at Delicious, which is made out of the Delicious custom roast that we curated with them. So we did a tasting of like 30 different coffees, to your point, Senator, from before. How do you choose the coffee? So they blind taste tested like 25 or 30 coffees to come up with this one, and it's exclusively theirs. They do a fantastic cold brew with it. You'll taste it three different ways on Saturday, Route 5 or Route 8, caffeinecrawl.com.
And how do you take your coffee?
I take my coffee naked or black. I like to taste it.
What just happened here?
It kind of depends. It's the coffee. It kind of depends on time of day.
She takes her coffee in the buff.
In the buff. The coffee, not me.
Yes.
So it depends on the time of day, too. In the morning, I like it without anything in it. I just like to really taste everything. And then in the afternoon, maybe some milk, maybe a latte.
Wonderful. More with our guests in just a moment. We'll get a chance to find out everything we need to know for the caffeine crawl after these announcements. Jason just told me that you can't judge a coffee when you have chocolate because it's like having sex with somebody you're never going to have sex with. What did I do?
I thought Jennifer said that.
You're never safe.
But I'll take that quote.
You're never safe.
You're never safe.
You can't,
Scott Stantis
can't just
knows.
Share it off.
Yeah.
I do.
I thought we were going to talk about Rick Sutcliffe.
Off the air. Are you kidding me? I've been telling a story for two nights in a row about Rick Pearson just telling me he didn't like my braid. So, yeah, nothing's off limits.
Nothing is off limits.
Nothing is off limits.
I don't like
unless
Rick,
you say,
by
please
the way,
don't say anything.
Don't like Rick Pearson anymore.
I like Rick Pearson. But what a strange.
No, it's over.
But now I have to wake up in the morning and think, I wonder if Rick Pearson will like my hair.
Really? Really? You know, I think
do.
The same thing.
It's the first thing I think of when I wake up. Well, Rick Pearson like my hair.
He doesn't like my
hair. He doesn't like my hair.
My lack thereof.
Will he like these shoes? I don't know if this is the right nail polish.
What is Rick thinking right now? Will he like my red jeans? Can people tell me what's up with the red jeans
what's
thing? It's
no.
a big deal.
Are, Wait, are you jeans? Wearing red jeans? I didn't
no,
know.
No, there are people I see, guys wearing red jeans. I'm just not into it.
Well, I have no. Jason is not familiar.
You're not
with
a red jean guy?
I can't. Do
I didn't, you I didn't strike me as a red jean guy.
Red shoes. I could do red
shoes. He's organized over 40 caffeine crawls across the United States. Do you realize that? He doesn't have time to notice what color your jeans
Neither
are.
Did I, but all of a sudden I saw a picture on Facebook and a guy was wearing red jeans.
That's not in like, public.
Huh?
That's
was
not
it
Facebook.
Rick Pearson?
Public? What?
It was Rick Pearson. He's got great red jeans.
So glad I had coffee, Jennifer. This is helping me right now.
I'm glad.
I wanted to ask you about the French press because yes. I have wanted to use a French press and my mother has one.
Were they harder than the American press? Sorry.
We call them freedom presses.
More aggressive. It's a little more aggressive. They don't, take their time. They're racing
aggressive.
The things.
Yeah. How dare you say that? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Sacre bleu.
I'm going to turn all their microphones off, Craig. This is what happens when people have coffee. You think letting my guests drink too much is a problem? Oof. Look what happens when they have caffeine.
Oh, this is so much worse than drunk guests.
Esmeralda can't even get it. She's like, I'm not going to get into this mess. I haven't had any caffeine. I don't have anything to say to you people.
Hashtag braids.
Jennifer, the French press. And you have, first of all, explain how that affects the coffee when you put it through a French press.
Sure. So in a French press, you're putting the grounds into a glass beaker first and then pouring hot water on top of them and letting them steep for about 4 minutes. So the coffee is being absorbed into the water.
Okay.
Then you press a filter down onto it, basically, to keep the grounds in the bottom. Coffee liquid floats to the top. So you're getting a richer, fuller, more full with the coffee oils taste. Versus like a traditional drip brewer where you have coffee in a filter, you drip water through it, the water is touching the coffee very briefly.
Right.
So it creates maybe a little less full taste. You get different notes different ways.
Okay. Well, because what would prevent someone, the reason I ask is what would prevent someone from doing that typically? Does it seem like too much of a hassle to do a French press as opposed to the drip?
Yeah, I think it seems like a hassle. And then in actuality, it's not. It's really funny because if you turn on your auto drip machine, it takes a few minutes for everything to run through. Mm-hmm. And when you do a French press, I like to time it 4 minutes on my phone timer. So it's the same time.
Well, you boil it. I guess they're like, I have to boil water and then
true,
I have to.
True.
And
yeah.
then I have to pour it through. And then, but it seems like, I don't know why. Doesn't it seem like a more elegant way to make coffee?
Oh, it is. Yeah. It absolutely is.
Yeah. Tastes better. Plus, a lot of people, you can go do something. I'm a big multitasker. Mm-hmm. So that's what I love about pour over
it's
our
all
brewing method.
You can drink.
You can leave and let the water boil, you know,
right.
set your
true.
Timer and come back.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And it's a nice ritual. I like to do it in the morning because it's sort of like I'm waking up anyways. So it's a nice way to ease in.
And what effect does it have on the taste of a coffee to, you know, whether you put milk or you put cream? Really, are you just saying, I don't really like the taste of coffee. I'll do whatever it takes to deliver caffeine to my system.
That's a good question. I think, you know, all coffee is a matter of taste. So whether you tend to like Guatemalan coffees or coffees from Africa or Indonesia, mm-hmm. we all have different tastes, just like we have different tastes in wine. And then adding milk, you know, it depends. I think some coffees are more suited to it. So the Guatemalan that we're trying has those fruity notes that you mentioned, like orange blossom and mm-hmm. citrus. So if you think about, would you add milk to orange juice?
No.
No.
I would not.
It doesn't taste very good. Now, this still tastes good with milk, but I would drink it by itself because I think sometimes those fruity notes can clash a little bit with the dairy or non-dairy. As you will.
How amazing is the morning at your house? Like, when you guys get up in the morning, are you creating coffee for 2 hours?
We open what do you guys do in the morning, Jennifer? The bluebirds fly in, and they help us pour our sugars and creams. No.
Zippity-doo-day.
No, it is pretty amazing. I do love mornings at our house. Carlos and I both enjoy our coffee in the morning. It's the first thing that happens when we wake up, and it's just so wonderful to be working with coffee. It's a beautiful crop. It's a beautiful product, and then we get to do something that gives back with it. So I'm just grateful every day. I get to start my day reminding myself, you know, wow, we're doing this. We're empowering people to help other people.
It's Jason Burton, who is the Caffeine Crawl organizer. I have to imagine that when you screen for owners of coffee shops, this has got to be the bar that you're setting.
Oh yeah,
is Jennifer awesome. Alexander Monzon. Right.
That's why she's here with us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. She should have her own podcast just talking about coffee.
Yeah,
I don't even drink coffee.
Who wants to go hang out with me at 11 o'clock after I get off the plane tonight and talk coffee? I'm like, oh, Jennifer would be perfect.
Yes. Where did you fly in from?
Kansas City.
From Kansas City. So you're in town for the Caffeine Crawl, which starts tomorrow, and there are routes all over the city starting at different times.
Correct.
And we gave away one pair of tickets. Craig, you said that the second pair have also been given away to a texter who gave us a scene for a movie that we're going to do in a few moments. So how do you screen for your stops along these routes?
So our company as a whole, so the name of our company is called The Lab, as in short for laboratory or whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so our focus is a marketing company for the specialty beverage industry. So we're studying cocktail bars, beer bars, distilleries, wineries, coffee, all that good stuff. So part of our job is just studying what's happening in American culture in cities and now outward coffee shops, beer bars, so forth. So we're doing this anyway. So a lot of it comes across our radar. We spend time in all these cities, so yeah.
And we're better than all the other ones, aren't we?
I love Chicago. I got engaged here. I have a connection with Chicago. I love Chicago.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. What are you seeing and hearing when it comes to the trends? So you're studying the culture.
Oh man, gosh. You should have asked me that off air because but here's what's happening. I will tell you.
I'm being reprimanded by Jason right now.
No. Cold brews, manipulating cold brews, that's a really big thing now, whether that's in a mocktail form, so a non-alcoholic coffee drink, the same way a classic cocktail would be treated.
I've been thinking about that. Yeah. I want to start having more guests in that do mocktails too, because I think that when people go out to eat, they want to have a beverage that's fun and maybe complements their meal, but isn't necessarily alcoholic. Yeah. Because we are sort of, you know, if you say like a kiddie cocktail, you end up with 7-Up and grenadine and a cherry, and there's so many great mixtures that bartenders are putting together that are simple syrups, and they have fresh herbs and all these great elements. It would be fun to see who's doing more of those mocktails.
Absolutely, and in my opinion, making a mocktail is harder than a cocktail because, I mean, you're eliminating the alcohol, especially if you're using something like bourbon or a liqueur. You know, you have so much there to work with. If you're taking that ingredient away and just using non-alcoholic ingredients, I think it's a challenge.
But if they're making mocktails with cold brews, what kind of elements are they introducing? Like probably honeys and syrups?
Agave, herbs. I see all kinds of stuff. Cherries used a lot. A lot of citrus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
very cool. And are people asking about that? Like, how can I blend this bean once I grind it and I put it in other syrups? Are people asking about those kinds of elements?
You know, we get more questions about the differences in coffee, but one thing that Delicious is doing, kind of like on the mocktail route, and you could taste it on Saturday, they created a drink called the Chaya LaBeouf. And it incorporates their homemade chai concentrate with a shot of cold brew.
That's fun.
Yeah, super fun. That kind of gives you a flavor of delicious.
Because dirty chais are my favorite.
Yes, me too. I love those.
I have a question about cold brew. And what's the difference between a cold brew and just cold coffee?
There you go.
Like different taste, or what's the...
So without going into this really deep, there's different methods.
Go
to
deep.
Do, yeah, go in.
Go in.
Do it.
So there's a lot of different ways to do cold brews or cold coffee. You can, everything from like one example, flash brew using a Chemex with ice and brewing hot water with ice being part of the volume of water that you're using. Toddy is very popular, so that will sit overnight. Some people 12 hours, some up to 24. There's just a lot of different ways now, especially now. I mean, a lot of this has changed in the last 2 to 3 years. There's nitro coffee on tap that's cold, and that has, like beer, it'll have a fizz or head to it.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the flavor difference between
a hot coffee?
Making a concentrated iced coffee and then doing a cold brew.
Okay, what's the question again? I'm sorry.
If there's a difference between that.
A concentrated coffee.
Right. Like if I go home and I make a concentrated coffee and make it iced versus
a cold brew.
Cold brew.
Right.
Yeah, like my Keurig, you have to put ice in it after it's done brewing and then make it cold over time.
Right. Well, and temperature, coffee is extremely fragile. In my opinion, and this I feel like is kind of scientifically proven, that coffee is probably the most fragile of the beverages. It doesn't last as long. Once you grind it, it's kind of like fresh bread. Once you slice that fresh bread and the air gets to it, I mean, it really deteriorates. The shelf life, me personally, again, you know, we try to take the snobbiness away from coffee when we do caffeine crawls. It's all about education, community, feeling approachable. But I usually consume my coffee whole bean within 3 weeks, sometimes 4. Again, we don't preach that. People can do what they want.
Do you put it in the freezer if you aren't going to use it right away?
And here's another thing. I'm glad you brought that up, because coffee smells attract and stick to coffee more than anything else. Really, so if you smoke, you need to be around coffee. A lot of roasters around the country, if they have staff that smoke, they need to be far, far from the beans, because that will stick to green coffee, which is coffee before it's roasted. I know I didn't answer your question. I feel like I need to...
He's like a coffee politician.
I know. I'm trying to think about... Jennifer and I were talking about this, like short, condensed answers. And sometimes with anything... I mean, I love beverages, so it's hard
Jason,
to like...
This is a conversation. You're not under any pressure.
We're good?
Just sort
okay.
Of like,
I thought we had
we're not going to rate you like he did
I thought
not.
We had a movie script.
I don't know. I see a blinking light that says, shut up.
I kind of just roll with...
This isn't about sound bites.
No.
Craig wants to talk about the Yankees. This is
Yeah, relax. It's
okay,
all good.
Cool.
Just because he had coffee. I can move what's that from to 12:30. I know. Here,
Mr. Goodsense.
Here, have another good bar.
Oh, yeah. Good bar. That's right.
Mr. Goodsense.
Do you want to take a break and think about your answer? Is that what you need? All right. So the question was, what's the difference between if I brew a pot of coffee and then just put ice in it as opposed to cold brewing?
Right. I just want if there's a flavor difference.
We're going to have an answer. And then we're going to do what's that from whenever we get to it, because that's how it is. I get to make the rules. More after this on 720 WGN. Hey, Craig. You know what's really cool right now? I feel like a coffee shop like conversation, like everyone's kind of broken off. This is so much better than I loved our brewers from the craft beer week, but do you remember like how we could never get control?
No, people
like this is so lovely.
This is so nice. I pulled out my own personal laptop and I'm actually just doing some extra work over here.
I know. I've got a script I started.
Yeah.
Senator Gutowski's really in his journal. This has been I feel like it's just mellow. I mean, we loved our friends from what was the place called? Baber Bra.
Love is a strong word sometimes.
And
sometimes you just have to use it.
Sometimes you go
to shut all their microphones off, Senator. Yeah. I think we didn't even invite you. We were like, well, this is going to be chaos. And that's why I was like.
And it was.
It was. It was complete chaos. Yeah. And so we invited you in tonight because I knew that coffee would be lovely. And it is so far.
Which is weird because it's caffeine. You think this would be not, but.
You're kind of, and both
here we are.
I know this guests is it's very nice.
Wicked smart. They're
wicked
very smart. Very smart.
Look at that.
The science behind coffee. This is.
I will say, I without having taken or asked you which one was which, I know which one I like now. And I've never been in a situation where I had cups of coffee to compare, and I prefer the Guatemalan.
Me too. All
right. It's just, and the citrus, I just sort of, and I think I also do prefer milk in my coffee, so this would lend itself. I also prefer to put raw honey. I never put sugar anymore or any artificial sweeteners. I always put raw honey. I highly recommend it. In a pinch, regular honey in a packet, but that's not really. In a pinch. When push comes to shove.
In a pinch, I got a little raw honey.
If I'm feeling squeezed.
Yeah, get it on there.
Okay.
Give me some of the honey.
All right, not for nothing there, Jason. As one of the organizers. And there are some other folks that you were saying are also, they also deserve some of the credit for this wonderful event.
Yes. So my main teammate, Sadie Renee, is based out of Fort Collins. Really, she works on probably 55 to 60% of the caffeine crawls now. So I know I get pushed into getting some of this credit because starting the company and so forth. But Sadie kicks ass. She's awesome. Couldn't do it without her. Her sister.
Thank you, Sadie.
Yes. She actually just texted me. She's like, hey, I'm going to bed. So can you get into the Airbnb?
Is she listening?
Yeah, she was.
Is she falling asleep to us?
You're awesome, Sadie.
Thank you, Sadie.
She's probably going to, oh, I do need to pick up the car at 8 a.m. So that I do need to do.
All right, we'll let you go.
No, we're good. This is fun. Okay. Who cares? I'm drinking coffee.
Yeah, we're not going to sleep anyway.
Yeah, we don't have to let the coffee people go.
I have a few hours to fall asleep.
I'm going
to
go home and watch a cheesy rom-com on Lifetime tonight.
Craig and I are going to play Connect 4 until 4 a.m. and watch Walking Dead reruns.
Sounds
he's more of a Game of Thrones guy to say.
No, I can
do that.
He could do both, but he, I don't let him talk about Game of Thrones on my show. He gets very excited.
Hodor! Sorry, go ahead. Amongst yourselves. Hodor!
So, patiently, in the traffic room, traffic central, Esmeralda is waiting for an answer to, if you brew a whole pot of coffee and then pour that over ice, what is the taste difference between that and cold brewing?
Okay. So basically what you're doing there is you're adding water content, higher water volume, so then you're throwing off the taste. So you're watering down your coffee. So really what you need to do is when you prepare your coffee, again, I'm going to use the Chemex or maybe a French press as an example, you will use the volume of water, or I'm sorry, of ice as part of your water. So coffee really, like a lot of beverages, I know you've had people from breweries in here. It's a science, you know. So you're dealing with grams of coffee, with grams of water, and time to make the perfect cup. So that's kind of the nerdiness side of it. Yes. So question, Patty.
I have a follow-up question.
Yes.
I also do.
Have I ever raised my hand for a guest?
You have not.
One at a time, please.
I feel like this is a very organized situation we have going on here. I have a follow-up question. What if you brew your coffee and know that you want cold coffee later and you just put it in the refrigerator and let it cool off that way?
Yeah, it's okay. But it's also going to, God, I wish I was. So I come from the marketing side. So I'm going to use stupid words like, well, you're going to change the taste because of the smells in the fridge.
But, I like the way you change your tone, too, so that it looks like a paragraph that you've written for the
website. Exactly. On the back of my
really
bag.
Understandable. You slowed it down for us. Your small words.
That was totally in italics.
Okay, I am a fan of, yes.
It changed his taste.
14-point font.
I'm a fan. It tastes like bologna. Right. What you're saying.
I miss bologna, man.
Bologna-infused coffee.
I do. What happened to the 80s?
This is Oscar Mayer coffee.
This is officially a Patty Melt. We have now hit Patty Melt territory.
Sorry.
This is what happens when the senator drinks three ounces of coffee.
You don't want to keep saying senator drinks in the same sentence.
Right. Okay.
Coffee. My future career will be over. It's coffee.
Let me add this part, though. I am a fan of taking that coffee and making coffee ice cubes out of it, though.
What?
That's what I would do. Coffee ice
cubes. Coffee ice cubes.
And putting those where? What happens next with the coffee
in your
ice
face?
Cubes?
In your cup?
Yeah. In my cup.
What do you do? Just put them.
Yeah, just make ice cubes out of them. Put them in the freezer.
Okay.
And then what do you put them in?
And then what?
Well, then you can make iced coffee with those and it's less dilutive.
Oh. Pardon me.
Jennifer had dinner, so her answers are going to be a lot
dilutive.
Here, do you need another?
Better than mine.
Here, you can have a crackle.
I can't eat. Yeah.
Ooh, we have crackle?
Crackle's like bologna.
Not crackle.
They're both in the same pile now.
I liked it when Jason said Mr. Good Sense.
I know, right?
It's a great name for a chocolate bar.
I might be out of crackle.
What
Let's crackle. What movie? Recent Will Ferrell. Come on, let's go.
Mr. Good Bar. There you go.
Crackle.
Reference.
Oh, here you go.
I don't know.
Craig? I feel like I remember it.
Oh, Lord.
Wait, how recent?
Really recent. Last couple of years. Blockbuster. Will Ferrell.
Anchorman 2?
No. Blockbuster, dude.
Blockbuster.
not sold at Blockbuster for $3.
That's what I, when you said Blockbuster, I was stuck there.
I have a follow-up question from our previous conversation, if I can. I'm curious what you guys think of the Keurig.
Yeah, it's a great question.
They were a great band in the
80s. You know what? I'm going to let Jennifer answer this because she actually has a wonderful answer and spin to this, which I love.
All it's right. not good for the environment. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's true. So the conventional K-cups, as we've all read, right, that it's not good for the environment. And so as we were starting Chipeen, we thought, well, we don't want to be part of that, obviously, because our mission is to help children and just generally make the world a better place. But what we saw was an opportunity, because like it or not, a lot of people use the Keurig. It's very convenient, and there are a lot of coffee drinkers out there doing that. So we actually found a recyclable K-cup. And it's made out of mesh around the sides, a little bit of plastic that's recyclable. And so we're doing our organic and fair trade coffees as well as some others in a recyclable single serve pod, which we see as, okay, if you're going to be using the Keurig, we're actually, what do you call it? I'm missing the word, but we're, instead of putting that cake up in the landfill, we're giving you a recyclable option, which with really, really good coffee in it. So,
now, is there a perfect size for those Keurigs? Because I feel like if you get a large, it's just going to dilute the coffee.
Mm.
And a small is going to be even more stronger.
Yeah. So I would say that's an experiment that you get to do. I change the size of the water part, like which cup button I use, depending on which roast I'm brewing.
There you go. Ezra was like, a lot of
she
information.
Needs to come to the caffeine crawl.
Yeah, come. Are you going to the caffeine crawl, Esmeralda?
We can hook you up. I love your questions. I mean it. I'm being honest.
Well, I'm just curious because I'm not big on coffee at all.
Mm-hmm.
So and it's because I have no knowledge of it. My mom drinks Folgers crystals, so that's what I grew up.
They will change your mind, Esmeralda. They will change your mind if you try this coffee that's down here.
Hey, and I need to say this also. We actually have tea on the caffeine crawl also. I feel like tea gets ignored all the time.
I agree. Get me some black
tea. Tea.
Mm-hmm. It's got a lot of caffeine in there. Green tea. Mix it up with some. Okay. We are hanging out with our friends from the caffeine crawl. Jason and Jennifer are hanging. Are you staying for the what's that from, or do you need to go?
Yeah, I have a part.
Oh, yeah, she's a part. More after this on 720 awesome. WTN.
Cameo.